In the book of Galatians, I want to read something. Not to justify anybody or anything or to condemn anybody or anything, because what I say to one, I say to all without respect to person. I was talking to a brother today, and he was telling me that he had felt like maybe I was talking to an individual. I said, no, what I say to one, I say to all. Up here, you don't stand up here and shoot at individuals. You don't do that. God doesn't do that. Somebody say, well, Brother Pike, I believe you do. Well, that makes you an unbeliever. You're in trouble with God to begin with. You're my enemy to start with, and no doubt you're the one that's causing my problem. Now, but the thing is, when God speaks, God hath no respect to person. The Bible said it's not you that speak, but it's the Heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. And it's your carnal mind that causes the problem to begin with your reason. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God. I don't play favorites. If you don't believe that, I'll tell you just like it is, all you got to do is come over to my house. I'll tell you just exactly like it is. It might not fit good, but the old saying is, if the shoe fits, you got to wear it. Now, I will love you, and I'll do anything I can to help you. But what I say to one, I say to all. I'll say it to you here, or say it to you wherever I meet you. When I say this tonight, I'm not saying it to justify anybody nor to condemn anybody. But I'm saying something to help open your eyes to where you, as an individual, can see that Brother Taylor, Brother Al Gonzalez, and some of the other brethren are not wrong in the things that they say, and why that they continue to say the things that they see. Though I've asked them not to say them over and over, yet they do say them. They say that God inspired them to say them. Now, but this is not to justify them, but it is to help open your eyes to bring you to a point of understanding. The word that you will be not too quick to condemn or talk about those things that you don't know about. The Bible said, being vainly puffed up by your fleshly mind, that you speak evil of dignities and things that you don't understand. Whereas angels, greater in power and might, dare not bring railing accusation, even against Satan, but just said, the Lord rebuke thee, Satan, when they were disputing over the body of Moses. But the Bible said these are brute beasts, made to be taken and burned. They are whales without water. They are wandering stars, of whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. They speak great swelling words of vanity, trying to allure those that are clean escaped from the flesh back into the trap, to bring them into bondage unto them for their own purpose. But it is true that God is trying to do something. And God through the past has done the same thing. And because we're not acquainted with the Scripture, or because we don't understand God's way of doing things, we're so quick to pass our opinion. And if we can get somebody to follow us, well, then we've got us the subject. And the first thing, we indoctrinate that individual to where they're in the same condition that we're in. Now, it would be well that if the people would listen to the pastor, it would be well if you would do that. Don't listen to anybody else, but listen to the pastor. If you want to listen to somebody else, then quit listening to the pastor. Because I am not your pastor if you listen to somebody else. If somebody else is leading you, I am not your pastor. You are not my sheep. You belong to whoever is leading you. I am not against them. Maybe they're better than I am. Maybe they know more than I do. But I'm saying that if I am your pastor, I'm your leader, then you've got to listen to me. That's the only way that I can help you. Everybody has their own family physician, and they've got to have confidence in that physician. Now, he cannot help the other man because the other man or woman is going to another physician. But if I am the family physician in this sense here, Well, the Bible said, physician, heal thyself. Then you've got to listen to me if I'm to help you in your spiritual conditions. If I did not know what I was speaking of, then how many of you understand that a physician can't be licensed unless he goes to the medical board and unless he knows what he's speaking of? I couldn't be licensed by God unless I knew what I was speaking of. Somebody would say, well, what is the proof of your license? My knowledge in the gospel. Just like the knowledge in the medical field is proof of the license of those that have the preparation. Paul said that you might understand my knowledge in God and the grace that is given to me in Christ. It's in your behalf. All right, now, I'd like to make mention of some things tonight and take my time and talk with you. And I want to show you if you will listen. Now, I can't show you unless you listen. But if you'll lay to heart, and I make the statement a lot of times that folks listen to what I say. They listen to it. They hear what I say, but they don't lay it to heart. They don't lay it to heart. The Bible speaks of those that do not lay it to heart. Now, when you lay something to heart, that means it gets a hold of you. It does something for you. It transforms your mind, transforms your heart. It changes you as an individual. Somebody said, I perceive you're talking about me. Well, you got good perception, because you're the one. Now, you see, how many of you understand what I'm trying to tell you? You understand what I'm saying? The Lord is doing something tremendously great in this hour. Tremendously great. Very outstanding. Are you willing to be a part of it? Are you willing to listen? How many of you would love to be a part of what God's doing? You're willing to listen. You're willing to follow Him all the way. All right? I just want to talk with you to see if I can help you. And as I said, I can if you will listen. First of all, I don't claim to be anything. I'm a servant of the Lord. I do claim to be a Christian and a son of God. I believe I am. The grace of God. But I don't claim to be anything. Though people shoot at me and find fault with me, I still don't fight back, because the minister of God should be gentle and not strive. But I don't claim to be anything. But I believe that I have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Nobody could change that, even if I died. If you put me to death tonight, as far as I know, you couldn't change that. I would die with that conviction in my heart that I have received the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I would die with the conviction that this revelation is, somebody said it will translate the church. I say that this revelation is the translation of the church. It is the translation of the church. As this revelation is received, it is right then and there translating the church of the living God into the great realms of the other world. It is doing it at the time it is received. Now, so then, we should give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If this is the final word of God to the church, and I believe it to be, if it is, then how much more ought we to be perked up in the Spirit, having our ears attentive to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church, instead of quibbling and fighting, having family feuds and church feuds and differences and gossiping, lust of the flesh and covetousness of the world. How much ought we to leave those things behind us? We've come too far for that. We've crossed over that. We've gotten away from that. But now we're too far down the trail. We're to the point of no return. You've got a place where you're sailing. You've come come to the place of no return. They give you an initiation when you go over. You can't come back because you've already crossed over from today into tomorrow. There's no way to get back. You come to the place of no return. And folks, the church is already at the place of no return. You have too much understanding to be able to go back into the world, because if you go back into the world, God will destroy you because you've got too much understanding. The Bible said that if you come to the knowledge of the truth and then you turn and go back into sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking for of the judgment of God and a fire indignation that shall devour God's adversaries. Is that right? So then you've come too far to go back. You can't go back. That means that you've got to go on. You've got to go on. You're too far to go back. If you did not have any knowledge of God, you could go back. But you've come too far for that now. I'd like to tell one or two things just before I read. Somebody had a vision. I believe it was Brother Gary, a night vision. I might not get it right, Gary. But anyway, he was telling me today that he saw, I believe, a multitude of people and something like a platform, maybe a place to preach or something. And on this platform, I apparently was present. And Brother Gary said that the voice that spoke to him spoke after this fashion, if I didn't make any mistake, that at this point, that there would be a change in the song leader. Is that right, Gary? And that I would start leading the singing. Is that correct? That the song leader that was leading the singing, there would be a change, and that I would start leading the singing. Now, I know that that has some spiritual significance. The Lord ain't fixing to do away with Brother Taylor. But another sister came, or a sister, the one that come up from Florida. And she said, Brother Pike, said, I had a night vision. And she said, in this, said, I saw you as the man child. And I probably won't get this one straight. But if I make no mistake, she said, I believe, she said, that this church was my head. Is that right? That was that. Some folks say I'm big-headed, you know. That really sounds like it, don't it? But anyway, she said that this church was my head. And she said around the head there was a great light radiating, a beautiful light that reached out. When she told us about this, here's what I thought. We spoke of the message going back to Israel at this time, passing back to Israel at this point. I made the statement it had to do with Brother Beachy going up to Ohio, and over to the Amish people, there to be with them doing the Thanksgiving. Lord, it's the Thanksgiving season that we have a time of the new earth coming in. You know the story about 16 and 20, I believe it was, that the pilgrims came over, landed at Plymouth Rock, and maybe 16 and 21, they had a Thanksgiving there after a hard winter. Brother Antley went up to Ohio there as a typical thing going up in Brother Floyd's Cadillac. There was a lot to that. The death of Sister Beach's brother was a lot to that. Henry means king of the house. And when you speak of something that is afflicted, you think of the Jew. But if the affliction passes away, and certainly death, the Christian is no longer afflicted. They become great, strong, and healthy in the land of plenty. There is a lot to be said about so many multiplied things. I'd love to drop in a thought or two as I can go along tonight, if you will try to stay with me. the vision that the sister had, I want to stay with that theme of thought there so we won't get our thoughts scattered. The vision that she had, I thought about this being the new world coming in. I spoke of this as New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, this building, with its multicolored lights, being typical of the Temple of Solomon, the city with 12 foundations of jewels, like the trailers down here that I saw was to be in the vision. And really, I saw three buildings, believe it or not. One on this side and one on this side. All three beautifully white. The grounds out here beautifully green with flowers. I still believe that those buildings will go up. But I thought about the message of Revelation, the mind of Christ. Being a pastor, a shepherd, that I would be typical of that in this area. You remember the Jewish flag that went up. Here, the light, the Bible said, that a city set on a hill can't be hid. You know that it is on a hill. You remember Sister Linda's dream where all the lights had gone out, but them over at our house. Now that the lightning all tried to beat and put it out, but never could. You know the friction we've had here. But anyway, the Bible said that all of the nations of the world walk in that light that was to come from God's tabernacle, which was New Jerusalem. Is that right? I thought about Brother Jerry's vision, how that over this very building, the star came and stood over this building. Brother Gilbert had a vision where the eagle came and landed on top of this building when he could not do it on the tent, being showing that the tabernacle in the wilderness wouldn't do. But when the tabernacle was established here, whereas the Bible said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and God shall dwell among his people. He shall wipe the tears from their eyes. They'll never be sick anymore. They'll never weep anymore." But Brother Jerry said he saw the star come and stand over this building. And it made me to think how that when the star came, the wise men followed it until it came to little Bethlehem and stood over the place where the child was to be born. And I thought about how that the Lord, even today, as I sit at my table, I started to take a cup of broth. My wife had made me some bouillon. I was going to drink it. As I did, the Holy Ghost fell on me. The anointing of God came down on me. God began to speak to me, and I began to break up, weep like I do. Sometimes I try to hide myself from Betty. Think, well, she won't understand, and yet I know she does understand. But that happened a lot of times. As he began to talk, I looked, and there was a wheat field before me. The voice said to me, he said, "There shall be a great harvest." I said, "Lord," I said, "there's a great crisis on." He said, "I shall make the desert blossom as a rose." So, I noticed that last night, before I went to bed, tired, thought I'd retire from the day, I was going to lay down, and all of a sudden, I began to think, "Lord, there's no need to hurry. I've been in a hurry on the inside, just going so fast and couldn't slow down. I thought there's no need to do that. That I just have to slow down and just take one step at a time." And then I thought, "God, that's not like me. I wonder what's wrong with me. That's not like me at all." I was a little bit puzzled about it because I don't ever slow down as a rule on the inside. But like tonight, even tonight I'm tense because I've got great expectation. I know that something's happening. But when I awoke this morning, I began to ponder over it. And I had said that yesterday was an outstanding thing, a day that was really typical. So when I awoke this morning, I began to think about the way I felt yesterday. And something began to say to me, the travail is over. The child has been born. And I had picked up my Bible. When I opened it, I looked, and over in the Old Testament, it told about the travail of Israel and how bad it was. And then I opened my Bible again, and there it went over to the New Testament, and it said in the New Testament that there is remembered no more the anguish and the travail in that a man child has been born into the world. And something during the day, over and over, seemed to say, as the vision said the other night, it's here. And something seemed to say all day that the child has been born. The child has been born. Now, I don't know exactly what God is telling me. I don't understand altogether the way that I would like to understand. But I do know that God wants us to understand. I do know that God is doing something that has went over the people's head, and the people have missed what God is doing. I want to come in a little more tonight, if you're willing to listen. But I want to read just a verse, if I can, or just a verse or two in the Bible. Now, folks, we miss what God is doing so many times because we can't get past the carpenter's son. Over and over in the past, God has worked, but never at any time has God ever worked unless there was a man involved somewhere. Never. Because God is a spirit. From the very foundation of the world, everything that God ever did, He did it through man. When God hung the stars, He did it by man. That's why Joshua could control the sun. He wasn't out of place. The reason he could control the sun is because it belonged to him. He could have control over the moon because the moon belonged to Joshua. You follow me? It belonged to Joshua. God had given it to him. Now listen, the elders will die in the wilderness. They won't see this revelation. They won't come in. They won't see the importance of it. They won't see. They're used to a jumping and a moving and a going on and something happening where everybody's excited. And they'll miss it because that isn't it. That isn't it. Listen now. That went on until Miriam grabbed her timbrel. She had a good time over there and they shouted and hollered. That's the woman thing. That went on. That's the feminist part of it. But when the lightning began to pop on the mountains, the thunders begin to roll, the shouting died down, the serpents begin to bite them, they turn to the Word. They turn to the Word. And they begin to get indoctrinated. Now then, we've had a great revival. The shout is over. The Bible said he'd descend with a shout. The voice of the archangel. All right, now listen. A lot to be said tonight if we could just get into it. But I want you to listen because this is where we miss what God's doing. We always miss it. over and over, I try to bring it out here to where I can keep personality out of it, to where God will get the glory for it, and to where the Lord can be the one that's lifted up. But I've got brethren, I've got people here in the broad that are determined to crucify me in their minds. No matter what I do, they're determined they're going to do it. So there's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to wax a little bolder. Paul did. I'm going to try to show you something tonight. If you can see it. The Bible said, he that can receive it, let him receive it. I want to say again, God has never done anything without a man. When he hung the stars, he did it by man. When he made the sun, he did it by man. When he scooped out the ocean bed, he did it by man. And the Bible said, the man Christ Jesus, there was not anything made but what it was made by him. Made by him and for him, the man Christ Jesus. There is no way to get to heaven without following a man. Because he was the man Christ Jesus, and all must come unto him. If they ever get to the Father, no man gets to the Father but by him. And we are the body of that man. We are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh tonight. And the world cannot get to God except through us. That's why the Bible tells us that we should pray for those that are without, that God would grant repentance unto life unto them. Interceding, standing in Christ instead, making intercession for them that are lost out in the world. We don't see, folks, because we're looking in the wrong direction. We are looking through our carnal resentment. We're looking through our carnal intellectual understanding. We're trying to figure it out, and the way we try to figure it out is how to get the spirit or the egg without the shell. And that's where we mess up. If Brother Taylor's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, I'll never get the spirit except I take Brother Taylor with it, because there is no life without Brother Taylor. There is no life. If I do away with Brother Taylor, I've done away with the life in Brother Taylor. There's no need to look for the life. It's gone. Because the life is represented by Brother Taylor. Now, I know you might not understand altogether what I'm saying, but I want you to listen. In the book of Galatians, reading from Paul the Apostle's writing, the one that had the revelation, the first chapter. Now remember, he's our apostle. In the 11th verse, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I want you to listen to this real close. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equal. In mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. All right, I want you to notice this tonight. And call me by his grace to reveal his Son in me. All right. Now, I want you to listen. Peter said to gird up thy minds and be sober unto the coming of the revelation of Jesus Christ. For it pleased God that He should reveal His Son in me. Now, I want you to see something tonight, folks, if you can. I want you to try to understand. When God reveals Himself, and I said I'd wax a little bolder tonight because I've tried to do it another way, and I can't. You're determined to have it your way, so we're going to have it your way. When God reveals Himself to you, He will reveal Himself to you in a man. When the Lord Jesus returns to this earth, to come back to this earth, when God comes back to this earth, He will reveal Himself in a man. Paul said, having the revelation of Jesus Christ, that it pleased God to reveal Himself in me. It pleased God to reveal the Son of God in Paul. Somebody would say, what do you mean? I mean that Jesus came to the generations of that day, but they did not see Him. He came to the generations of Moses' day, but they did not see Him. He came in the days of Elijah, but they did not see Him. He came to the generations in Brother Branham's time, but they did not see Him. Brother Branham said, if you knew the day that you're living in, if you could understand the day and hour of your visitation, Jesus said, but your houses be left desolate unto you, because you did not know. Therefore it pleased God that Jesus should be revealed. The coming of the Lord, the revealing of the Lord, and it pleased God that Jesus should be revealed to the people. But how was He to be revealed to humanity in that day? He was to be revealed as a revelation, and He was to be revealed through Paul the Apostle. Because Jesus is a quickening spirit. That's what He is. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And so then that Jesus, the Bible said, whom you seek, He has suddenly come to His temple to be glorified within His saints. And the Bible said, to let all of the world keep silent, for God is in His holy temple. A lot of people would say, someday I'm going to heaven. Someday I'm going to see that beautiful temple of God. And someday I'm going to see God. But my brother, I want you to know that God has never had a temple except this temple. There has never been a temple of God except this temple. And the Bible tells us that we are the temple of God. We are the lively stones. We are the heavenly Jerusalem. We are the light of the world. And all nations shall walk in the light of this city. Paul the Apostle was the wise master builder. The apostolic church was the foundation of it. And the Bible said, everyone that built on it, let him take heed how he built. For if he build hay and stubble on this foundation, that God will burn it. But that we are God's stones of fire. We are God's jewels. And when God comes back, we being the jewels of that great city, God will place us one upon another. But He said the stones that are not God's stones, every stone shall be cast down. But this temple shall be built. and the nations of all of the world shall walk in the light of this great building. And the Bible said when Solomon built the temple that the glory of God filled the temple. And when the temple was finished, that everyone that looked toward the temple, the Bible said they were healed. This great temple is being built. As it is written, I will return in the last days, saith God. I will build up the fallen down house of David. It is a true fact. But I made the statement not too long ago that the hour of the building of the temple had come, and they started building it, which signifies that God's tabernacle is among men, and the revealing of the Son of God is at hand. For the Bible said in that day that the Son of Man is to be revealed. The Son of Man is to be revealed. How? What is the revealing of the Son of Man? The revealing of the Son of Man is God, Christ, in you, the hope of glory. And Jesus, the eternal Godhead, coming to bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, God suddenly coming into his temple to be glorified in his saints. That's why the star came and stood in the vision over little Bethlehem. For the Bible said, as it is written, he shall be born there. It was called the house of bread. It is referred to as the city of David. And it is a true fact that God has chosen this little area here. And I say this in the face of all the resentment and the cunning, crafty, carnal minds that has tried their best to crucify Brother Pike, take the vineyard and kill the one that God placed here. I say this to all of them, that God has forever and eternally established the revelation of Jesus Christ, and nobody can tear it down. Nobody. It is forever and eternally established. The Bible says that the red dragon, which goes back to the bloodstream, the first birth, came. Them that be carnally minded of the beast's mind, the reason, said that that bloodstream, that red dragon, he lay right in there when the child was to be born so that he could devour the child just as quick as it was born. They've laid in around here like snakes in the grass. That's right. That's what God refers to them as. All flesh is as grass. And the snakes lay in the grass, the spirits, in the flesh. And it is a true fact that they've tried their best to cause confusion and conflict with their carnal mind. It is a fact that they have resented and hated and found fault and done everything within their power to destroy it and to tear down. The leeches have tried to sap from the financial end of it. There's been long-tongued gossipers. There's people that the devil has planted like seeds and caused confusion, trouble, and wars, and conflict. The red dragon, the beast, the mind, that laying in there ready to devour the man-child, to keep the mind of God from being developed in the membership of that man-child that it might come forth. But in spite of all of the conflict, God has done his work. God has done his work. God has done his work. In spite of all of it and all that you've done is cut yourself off from it. All that you did is cut yourself off from it. I said when the woman was standing on the moon, which is America, that at that very moment, that Russia, that would come upon us, Russia laying in around the moon, waiting to devour the man-child. I spoke of it. Just like Jerusalem over here being the moon in types. That's what the moon is a type of. Here we are as the sons of God, which is the great sunlight of glory that outshines the noonday sun. That it is by us and by our light and by understanding that through the Jewish intelligence, through the understanding of the development of the law, the word that's in their fleshly minds, it is by means of that great Jewish nation that God, by means of the saints, will project a life through that that will reach all of the world. They will reflect it to the world as the head of the nation, which is the typical sense of what God is doing right here in the little place called Monroe. Not only that, but whereas it speaks of the moon turning to blood, the conflict that will arise concerning Jerusalem, the great conflict where the nations will gather together around Jerusalem, and where Russia will try to go in and take Jerusalem. For the Bible said in that day there shall be an evil thought that shall come into the mind of Gog and Magog, Russia. And they shall say, let us go up to the city with unfenced walls to take for ourselves a spoil. In that day the moon shall turn to blood. The blood shall run up to the horse's bridle. And for so many furlongs it will be seen. Because it is the typical thing of what God was speaking of. There will be a great stirring in that country. And the great things of God will begin to transpire. And we'll see every nation on the face of the earth defeated. What does that mean? It means that the Joseph of that day shall be lifted up and Jesus shall sit upon the throne in the millennium and all the nations will have to come to him and there will be no food unless they do come to him. Why? Because Jesus Christ alone is made heir to the glory of God. That's exactly what's happening here in the little place called Monroe. God has chosen it for a typical example, and God is going to enlighten all of the world with the light of this gospel that's going to find its way into the hearts of the Israelite people. Now, you say you speak big things. I got a big God. Say you speak big things, Brother Pike, much, much bigger than what I speak you'll be able to see. God is through with the Gentiles. God has given the Gentiles their day. He's done for them what he's going to do. And God is through with the Gentiles. And the great vision that I saw, where everything was turned into powder and the Spirit of God lifted, I believe is not too far off in the future. I know that God is with me. I hope that you know that God is with you. I feel God. He's with me every day. I feel him over. Like today, I felt him so many times today. Over and over, he has literally flooded my soul till my cup has run over. There will come a deadness such as you've never seen that will come over the congregation and over the people. And only those that have been true Christians will retain the oil. For at this point, God is turning back to the Jew. The thing that we see in Mexico shows America in its typical types as being the foolish virgins who, as a prodigal son, wasted their substance with riotous living. She's giving out of everything because she's been greedy. I made the statement years ago in some tape somewhere. I said America is greedy and someday she will use up the substance that is within her earth and she will go hungry and go lacking and have to do without. America, being the foolish virgins, has turned to Mexico at the time of the discovery of the oil And he said to Mexico, who I said was typical of the Jews many years back, they have turned to her and they said, "We're friends. Give us of your oil. Our lamps has gone out." But Mexico said, "You will have to go to them that sail. This is enough for us. But you'll have to go by the way of the trade markets and buy for yourself. We won't give it to you. Else our lamps go out." We see a typical thing that's taking place. Something has happened. Something has transpired. Even yesterday, I saw the great things of God happening. Today, I've watched, and the great things of God has taken place today. But with all of what God has done, you're not stirred. When he said, "Israel, O Israel, all day long I've stretched forth my hands to you, but you would not." You're not stirred. You're not awakened. For at the midnight cry, they were asleep. They were asleep, and even at the hour when the cry comes, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him." But their lamps had gone out. Their lamps had gone out. They couldn't go. Their lamps had gone out. They put them out with miniskirts. The ladies had put them out by going around wearing slacks, that which pertaineth to a man. They'd put them out by bobbing off their hair. They'd put them out by violation of the word of God. They put them out by criticism of the ministry and by not supporting God but supporting dog food. Feeding dogs, when the statistics show that America spent more for dog food than she did for the publication of the gospel, I'm not surprised that God has let her go hungry. I'm not surprised that the judgments of God are falling on her at the time of the catching up of the man-child. And the sealing in of that which is God's. God has caught up that which is his. He has caught him up. He has revealed him unto us. And he has caught him up. And he has sealed him away. And he's hid with God. There waiting until the crisis is over. That the return of that great thing might come in the days of the millennium and sit and rule with a rod of iron. But even before the time comes that the tribulation period will be upon us, I made the statement that the tribulation period was laying at the door, and at the same time the prediction come that the stars showed that a 7-year reign of Satan was at hand. Everything is shaped up to one outlook, and that is that the coming of the Lord is at hand. For it pleased God that Jesus should be revealed within Paul, which was the revelation of that day, whereas he said that I'm one is born out of season, but in the day that we're living in, it's not out of season for the Son of Man to be revealed in his day. For it pleased God that his Son should be revealed in me. Things that are taking place. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revealing. Peter said, "Gird up your loins." I say again, why did he say that? Because Paul had abode with him 15 days. He had indoctrinated Peter. And he had told Peter that he had a great revelation. But he said, "Peter, I'm one that's born out of season. God has let me see it. The translation of the church. But I can't give it to them. But someday, Peter, somebody will. And I'm as one born out of season." So then Peter said, "Gird up your loins until the coming of the revelation of Jesus Christ and the grace that is to be revealed unto you at the coming of this revelation." What grace? The translation, the change of the human body, this great understanding of God. What is it? We are looking for a natural God that doesn't exist. We keep looking for a natural heaven that doesn't exist. For the kingdom of God is a spiritual thing. God is a spirit. Jesus is a quickening spirit. God has raised us up together, made us to sit together in heavenly places. God has translated us into the marvelous kingdom. God has chosen us out of this world, and we're no more of this world. God has sealed us with His Holy Spirit until the day of the redeeming of the body. God has perfected forever them that are sanctified. God has glorified them that have called on His name. God has made us without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. God has sealed us in. God bringing us to this place that we are by the spiritual word of His own divine person, His own divine presence. God, through His spiritual word mind, has and is translating us into His oneness, into His presence, into His own state of affairs and state of being, because God is a spirit. We sang the song. Paul the Revelator said, He's here, He's above you, He's in you, He's through you. How can I get to Him? I can be translated into His spirit. I can be translated into His presence. I can be translated into His state of being. I can die out as a man and I can become God. I can die as a man and I can become God. God has made it so. I can die as a man and I can become God. Translated into the oneness of God. That's why Jesus said, you're gods. You're gods. If you're not gods tonight, you're lost. They that are not gods, then you are lost. Only gods can live in this world. Only gods can continue to exist. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I just can't believe that. I can't feel like that. Well, I'm sorry. I wish you could. I wish you had been a believer. I wish that the Spirit of God could have found faith in your heart to where you could have been translated into the oneness of God. Because of your unbelief, you've been cut off from it. Because of your carnality, you don't see it. But in this world, it's a heavenly world. Like in the vision, when I said, don't you see the things that I'm looking at in heaven? It's a heavenly world. When Jesus said, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. We who are dead to the flesh, translated into the kingdom of God. We are hid with Christ in God. We're in the world of His great glory, His understanding, having been sealed in because of the terrors and things that's coming upon the world. Why the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape the things that's coming on this earth. If you're still in the carnal mind, if you're still out there in the things of the flesh, then you're in for a lot of trouble. Because the Bible said that Satan was cast out of heaven, and he's looking for a body to go into. And the Bible said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. Woe to them, you that inhabit the body, you that inhabit the carnal mind, you that inhabit your reason. The Bible said that you'll be part of his kingdom. But we who have escaped, we who have been translated, we that are in another dimension, we that are in another world. Brother Branham said that my audience might be in this great dimension that I'm in and see the things that I see. Moving into another world, into another dimension, moving into another realm to where God lives. Getting out of the things of the world. Now, I would like tonight to be able to spark off your hearts. But with all I've said, it hasn't done it. There's a deadness over you. There's a coldness over you. Why? Because we're coming to the hour when the Spirit of God is ready to be lifted from the earth like the vision that I saw. It won't spark you off. It won't, as the world says, turn you on anymore. Because the deadness, the coldness will come over you. Just like Billy Paul said concerning Brother Branham's followers, that a coldness. Said, I've never seen it before, but it's coming over the William Branham followers. And like the vision someone had the other night when he said, it's time for us to dismiss. What is it? It's come down to the end of the trail. God is through with the Gentiles. God is turning back to the Jews. There is only left a revival for the church. When I say the church, I don't mean the church world. I don't mean people that go to church. I don't mean people that fast. I don't mean people that pray. I don't mean that people that give in the offering. I'm talking about the elect of God that's been born of the eternal Spirit of God that was elect before the world ever was. There's only a revival for them. Only a revival for the elect of God, the ones that have the all, is the only one that will be able to light their candles and their lamps in this revival to become part of that city. Something is happening. Something has happened. Something is stirring deep within my soul. And it's something that you don't see. It's something that you don't understand. But God has got some that do and some that will. And some that will move on with Him. Now, that's all I'm going to say tonight. I wanted to get into some present day happenings, but I never did see a spark off during the whole time I was talking to you. You're becoming more dead all the time, more life. But you can be sure of one thing. After that the revelation lifts, there will be a great noise, of shouting, hollering, running, jumping. Already it's beginning to hit some of the churches. And you'll think that heaven's being poured out on you. It'll be. But my brother, the man-child will be gone. The bride will be gone. And you will be left here to face the tribulation period. Though you will think everything is rosy and everything is fine, for Antichrist will have the answer to all of the world's problems, even the church's problems. And everything will seem to be just rosy and fine. But I want to tell you that at that time, the revelation of Christ will be over. The mind of God will be gone. I know you look at me with questions in your heart, in your mind, and you wonder, you can't understand, you can't fit it together. You're confounded because in your intellectual reasoning, you had it figured out another way. You thought it was to be different from that. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. You can look ever so long, but your understanding being darkened, not enlightened with God's hope of glory, the darkness falling over you won't be able to see good when it comes. Brother Branham says it'll pass right on through you. I spoke with Brother Gary today, just a few things, as we sat around the table in the home, and tears filled his eyes. And the glory of God and the Holy Ghost rushed through his soul as he said, Brother Pike, this is it. I know this is it. He testified with his spirit, with his heart. But where is the testimony with your spirit and with your heart? Where is the testimony from God with you? You can't see past the coffin, this son. But it pleased God that Christ should be revealed in me, Paul said. So then, if it pleased God for him to do that, then I'm pleased. Are you pleased? I'm pleased. Are you pleased? You're displeased. You know why? Because they were displeased with Joseph. They were displeased with Jesus. They were displeased with the apostles. They were displeased with every person that God ever revealed his son through. And if Jesus Christ be the same yesterday, today, and forever, the people will remain the same in condemning it. It'll be the same today. But nothing will stop it. Nothing will stop it. Nothing will stop it. Friends cannot stop it. Relatives cannot stop it. Brethren cannot stop it. Church world cannot stop it. The world itself cannot stop it. There is a man-child that is in the world. God has brought it forth. And no matter what anybody says, it's still in the world today.